Our next speaker is Monica Zimena. Am I saying that right?
Himena.
Thank you. We have heard about New Zealand today, and we have heard about Canada, and now we will hear about Bolivia. Monica has her civil engineering degree, and she's now working on her PhD at the Free University of Brussels in Belgium. In all of her free time, which I think is probably very little, she's teaching in Bolivia at the University of Bolivia, San Pablo in Santa Cruz, Bolivia.
Thank you so much for the introduction. Thank you to everybody to be here. I'm so glad to be here and share with you the experience of Bolivia. It's little, but still I hope that you enjoy and you can find this experience interesting and useful. So, I have decided these presentations to show you two study cases. The first one, I'm going to talk to you about the Metropolitan Aquifer. And then I am going to talk to you about the San Jose Aquifer. That is the project I am working right now. And I'm going to start now. So 6 years ago, I was hired for the state government from Bolivia, specifically from the state of Santa Cruz, to be responsible for monitoring groundwater network. That was amazing because it was a new project, and it was the only monitoring network, groundwater monitoring network in Bolivia. So I was very excited. And before to leave my hometown, I talked with one professor, and he told me, Monica, you have to be careful, because most hydrogeologists misunderstand and misuse the concept of integrated water management. It's common to think that integrated water management is just the combined use of surface water and groundwater. But this concept is so much more than that. In fact, you have to ask yourself if your actions or decisions are going to affect the disponibility of water to other users, if your decisions are reasonable in terms of efficiency of money and water, and of course, will your decisions or actions are going to damage or not the whole system, and put all together too. So it's a real challenge. And it was, in fact, it was. But before continue, I want to show you where Bolivia is, my country. We are in the middle of South America, just in the middle. And if you look at Bolivia in Google Earth, you are going to see that picture. It's a country that has the size similar to California and Texas together. That is the size of Bolivia. And like you can see, it's divided in 9 departments. That would be the equivalent to a state. And something interesting is that this country seems to be split in 2 parts. On the west, you can see we call them the altiplano. That means height and flat. And we have in there a very dry weather, and we don't have enough water. So it's we have situations not favorable for us. But in the other side, in the eastern, we have the lowlands. We have a tropical weather, and the heights are about 500 meters above the sea level. And that, I have remarked Santa Cruz state, that is my new home. And the start is Santa Cruz de la Sierra city, where I live. So the feature that split my country is the Andes chain mountain. I think you are familiar with that. It's a chain mountain very famous in South America. And I think that's the most important part. I put also some interesting data about Santa Cruz state. Like you can see, we are more than 2 million of people living in Santa Cruz, but most of us are living in that small area, which is here. We call it metropolitan area of Santa Cruz. So too much people living here, like you can imagine, we put a lot of pressure on our water sources. So we have a complicated situation. Another interesting fact is that we are growing really fast. This is the main city, the urban area of the main city, Santa Cruz de la Sierra. And that's the growing of that city. In fact, according to Forbes magazine, we take the 14th place within the fastest growing metropolis in the whole world. So I think it's really interesting. And I think there is a lot of people in Santa Cruz because there are a lot of opportunities. We are the commercial and financial and industrial center of the country. And a very important detail is that groundwater is the source that supplies the entire volume of water for all sectors. I mean, we drink groundwater, the irrigation takes groundwater, the industry too. So it's a lot of pressure on groundwater. And it's important to say also that according to our constitution, the access to water and sewage are human rights. So they cannot be privatized. What are the problems when the government or the state government on Santa Cruz notice? First of all, we know that as hydrogeologists, we cannot manage or make decisions about something we don't know. And this is the general thought in Bolivia. We don't know enough information about the aquifers, the hydrology is so new for us, so it's difficult. And I was new on Santa Cruz. So we thought that, but then we realized that we are making decisions every day. Even don't do anything is make a decision. So we have to get to know everything we could and do something with that. So the best or the biggest obstacle is that in Bolivia we don't have a water law. That means that every sector has their own regulations and their own authorities. The irrigation sector has their regulation, their authority, and they don't talk between them. So this is very complicated to the integrated management of groundwater. The first step we take, we start to look for information, hydrogeological studies. We ask to all the institutions in Bolivia, I mean in Santa Cruz, what they have. And we find that some institutions actually have some studies about the Santa Cruz aquifers. But some of these studies were contradictory, and I'm going to show you in a minute why. And most of this information was not available. So I think every institution was a little jealousy with their own information, so they didn't share with the other parts. And something interesting is that everyone agreed that one institution has the better information about Santa Cruz aquifer, and that was the water supply company. That was very interesting because at some point the municipality, every time they have to give some permissions to any industry to drill a well, they ask to that industry to ask recommendation from the water supply company. So that's reasonable because they have a lot of information, so and they have to see for the use of the water for the people, so it's something reasonable, I think. But at some point, one big industry I mean the biggest industry that was a thermoelectric, asked for permission to the water company to drill two wells. But the company said, okay, you can drill two wells, but we are drilling wells to water supply until 300 meters depth. So you have to drill your wells 600 meters depth because we don't have to any interference. And they did. So that wasn't good. And that's it. There is not integrated water management on that. So the situation was really complicated. What we do, we joined all together, all the companies, the water supply company, of course, and we start to share the information, and we, like a government, start to analyze all the information. And that is what I'm going to show you right now. This is the metropolitan aquifer. This is the metropolitan area from Santa Cruz. And like you can see, we have a lot of rain, 52 inches. The temperatures are very high too. We can have temperatures of 86 Fahrenheit, that is high. Here we have the Andean chain mountain. And about the geology, we have quaternary here and some tertiary sandstones. In here we have clays, gravel. And in this part, because the chain mountain, we have a drastic change in slope. So in this area, we have a lot of alluvial fans, a system of alluvial fans, very productive. And we are taking all the water from this part. So that's good because we have permeable soils and a lot of rain. So it sounds good. Then here is the place. This is the Andean chain mountain. And this is the huge sedimentary basin with a lot of different soils. And according to the petroleum industry, we have a kilometer depth in this part. So it's a big place. And in a small scale, this is the lithology beneath Santa Cruz. This was studied and published by the BGS, the British Geological Survey. And in here we have a mixture of clay, sand, gravel, and they couldn't make a correlation because they wanted to find the boundaries and separate the shallow aquifer, the intermediate aquifer. But that was not possible. But we have a very important conclusion from this picture. And it's that there are so many heterogeneity that there are a strong connection, not just horizontally, but also vertically. So the water, that is a lot of water, can move really fast from the top to the bottom of the aquifer. In terms of quantity, that's good. But in terms of quality of water, that could be not so good because if we have a contamination in here, it's going to penetrate really fast to the aquifer. And that's what is happening right now. This is a newspaper news in 2014, and it says to get safe water, we have to drill deeper and deeper wells. So at the end of the 90s, we had a lot of wells of 80 meters depth. But to date, I mean in 2014, we have wells of 250 meters depth. Today, in this year, we are drilling wells of 400 meters depth. And that's not because we don't have enough water. It's because we are avoiding the first 100 meters because they have poor quality water. And that is the somehow the scheme about how our aquifer works. You can see we have like three aquifers. The first aquifer, a shallow aquifer, which is poor quality water, has a thickness of 100 meters. And most of the wells are taking water from this intermediate aquifer. We have three main sources of recharge according to this study. The first one is the precipitation, which is a lot. The second one is the river that pass near the city. And the third one is the leaks from the water supply system and from the sewage. So there is something wrong here. And that is that we are taking so much water from this aquifer and not so much from this aquifer, we are increasing the vertical gradient. That means that the water is moving faster and faster to the useful aquifer. So that is making or provoking this situation. We have a serious problem with nitrates and chloride. Why nitrates? Because 30 years ago, just the half of the city had a sewage system. The rest just use septic tanks or other solutions. But we have a lot of organic load in here. And this organic load has contaminated the aquifer with nitrates. But we have a second problem too. This contaminant load doesn't have enough oxygen. So at this point has penetrated so down into the aquifer that this water that has reduced conditions has mobilized the manganese. So we have higher and higher concentrations of manganese. And that's really, really dangerous too. So with this information, we know as a government that we have to pay attention to that component, nitrate and manganese. And those are some numbers, not so recent. We took that samples in 2016, I think. And we have, for example, in terms of manganese, we found in 94 milligrams per liter, which is 21.2 like nitrates as nitrogen. And it's just beyond our regulations. Our limit is 45, but 45 milligrams per liter as nitrate. And the manganese is increasing too. I talked before about some contradictions in the studies. There were a lot of questions. And we tried to use the data from our monitoring groundwater network to answer these questions. We analyzed all the chemical information we had. And you can see here that the type of water, for example, is rich on calcium and bicarbonate. But in the north, we have a lot of sodium. So some studies just split the aquifer in two parts. They didn't believe that there was a connection between all the aquifer. Another contradiction was about this river. This is the Piraí River, which is giving water to the aquifer. We have this other river that is called Grande River. And some studies said that it was a recharge river, and some other studies said that it was the opposite. But we need to find out what is going on to try to propose solutions to manage our aquifer. So we try to use conducted as isotopical study too. We took some samples from rainwater, groundwater, and surface water. We were very curious about the 600 meters depth wells because we thought that they were taking away from the aquifer very old water, maybe regional flow. And we took some samples, but the result was unexpected because the isotopical signature from 40 meters depth wells was very similar to signatures from water taken from the 600 meters depth wells. So the connection is really strong, and there is a lot of mixture. So that's an alert for us, because we have to take care a lot of the surface of our aquifer. We took also samples from that point. I mean, you remember we have a lot of sodium here, and there was some questions, but this signature is very similar to the rest of the signatures. So we assume that there is a strong connection. I mean, it's the same aquifer system. And of course, we took some samples of the river, especially the Piraí River. And with the data from the rainwater, with the isotopical signature of the rainwater, we tried to figure the height of the recharge. Some studies claim that the recharge came from this area, very high area, because we have a lot of fractures on this. But we found that is not like this, because the samples are taking at between 250 and 550 meters above the sea level, and that's similar to the isotopical signatures from the wells. So we did that, and we delineate the recharge area. And something very important is that in this area, near to Santa Cruz City, there is another city called Porongo. This is a city that is growing really fast too, because a lot of people is moving to this city to build houses, to build, very companies are building artificial lagoons. There is a lot of plans to take water from this city. So we knew that we had to protect that area. So what happened after that? We recovered all this information we had, the new data, we put all together, and we make a report called Strategies for Protection Against Pollution in the Recharge Area of Aquifer that supplies the metropolitan area of Santa Cruz. One new recommendation was to take care of Porongo area. And also we rescued some conclusions from other studies. For example, there was another important conclusion in a Foster study that said that we have to encourage people to drill shallow wells, because we will be removing the poor quality water and decreasing the vertical gradient. That is very, very important. And the year after that, the municipality just approves a new law called Law of Protection and Conservation of Water Sources, which is was really, really good. But they never put that law in action. We don't know why. And the same year, the monitoring network was closure, yeah? Because our budget was just cut into the half, because we depend a lot of the price of the petroleum, and that year was very critical. So many projects were lost, and a lot of people lose their jobs. And the year after that, 2017, an administrative break was declared in the Urubó area. That means that in 18 months, nobody could drill a well or do anything in that area, because the state government was doing an audit, an environmental audit. But this year, the audit stops. This is very recent, so I don't know why. That experience is something real that happened in Santa Cruz. It feels, at least for me, as a failure, but I think we have learned, all my colleagues and I have learned a lot from this. And now, I'm going to talk to you about the second experience. And the second experience is related to the new place I am working. I am working on the Catholic University of Bolivia. It's a big change for me, but it's still in Santa Cruz. And the reason why I am working on this institution is because they are working on a very interesting project. That's the name of the project. It's too long, I know, but too long for our t-shirts because we tried to put it, but we couldn't. And this project has two very interesting features. The first one is that they are looking for four vulnerable communities to do integrated water management in Bolivia. And the second one is that we have the missions to build transdisciplinarity learning communities. That means that it's not just the teachers from the university teaching to the community, but it's the both sides. I mean, we have to learn from them, and we have to learn from our colleagues, and it's a dynamic, very interesting. It's very challenging because the integrated water management is just one project. We are dealing with five projects and one transversal project. But it is challenging and it is exciting because that's the opportunity to approach to the integrated water management. We have, for example, social vulnerability, we have food, indigenous rights. I mean, I am working with sociologists, with lawyers, and we are learning from each other to improve the quality of life of this community. And this new community is San José de Chiquitos. It's 6 hours far away from Santa Cruz de la Sierra. It's a small community, though this is the quantity of population. The climatic conditions are similar, like you can see. The altitude vary from 300 meters to 600 meters above the sea level. And we have alluvial fans. But the dangerous thing, at least for me, is that we have a lot of rocks. So I will have to deal with movement of water in fractured aquifers. And I'm not so happy about it, but I have to give it a try. And all this is the Precambrian, the Brazilian shield. I know that it's quite similar to the Canadian shield and is covered in that part with some quaternary. So we are starting, and we know that the main problem, at least in Bolivia, to start a hydrogeological study is set a monitoring network. So this year we start from zero to implement the monitoring network. So we did a well inventory. That's what we found in this area in the first try. Some of the wells are very easy to measure, like you can see, because the community has some wells, but they don't have enough money to put a pump on it. So just leave them like that. And we have this kind of wells. It's very difficult to measure the water level in those wells. We have to find to a little spot, but we have to do it. And at the same time, we try to manage the data we have. And the first step we take was organize, systematize all the information we have. We found a lot of primary information. For example, this is a soil use map. And this year we dedicate a lot of effort to make a first potential recharge map in based on these maps, these primary maps. So we are organizing all this information in a GIS-based database. And our goal is from this year to make this database accessible to the technicians from the municipality, because we know that they need to take decisions and they need as much information as we could give them to them. So we are, those are my students. So they are taking courses about GIS. And the good thing is that 2 months after that, they were teaching, replying the course, teaching the course to the technicians from the municipality in order to build build their capacities. And that was very good because they already have those maps and they manage those maps in a GIS database, in a GIS tools. And in the field, they are getting really involved. Those are some students. Those are the technicians from the municipality. And one of my colleagues told me, Monica, how many people do you need to just take a water measurement? You know? Do you really need that? But I think now is a new me because I have learned so much from sociologists, from people who is so in contact with people. And believe me, it's necessary. It's necessary because we are going to move on in the next 4 years, but they have to be able to keep taking measurements, keep managing information. That's why we are doing all this work. So we are here. And about the technical features, now I am doing a PhD in the Free University of Brussels. So I found a very interesting investigation team named EIDR. I am part of that team right now. And they make a repository made GitHub. So they are sharing all their models to get feedback. So I think that it would be really interesting for me and for all the people in Bolivia to start to code. All these maps, for example, just make the code for it. So I am learning Python and share with them and get feedback. So that would be really helpful for us. No? So some conclusions about this first work. We, like I showed you, we made the water budget on the soil. We determined the potential recharge in the area. This is the method we use, Shosinski. And this is information, preliminary information. So we are going to go deeper and try to use another method too. And the second conclusion is that the hydrogeological information available today is being systematized and is available to local technicians. I mean, we are not going to give them just a document. We are teaching them how to use this information and how to update this information too. That's our goal. So this is the youngest part of my team. They are the people who is measuring the water levels. All these institutions are involved so far. And this is my email, and any question you have, please ask now or later. Thank you so much for your attention.
So maybe you mentioned this and I missed it, but why is surface water not being considered as a resource? Is it an engineering problem? Is it a contamination problem? Climatic issue?
Surface water.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you for that question. It's an important one. In the first case in Santa Cruz, we have the Piraí River, but it's really polluted. The water is the quality of the water is really poor because in the high levels, there is a lot of agriculture. So we even have found pesticides. So nobody is drinking that water. And in the case of San Jose de Chiquitos, in the second case, they, in the last, 10 years, they were taking some surface water from one spring. No, it wasn't a spring, it was a small river. But these last years, the dry season is so hot that the river just disappeared. So they don't rely on rivers anymore, and they are willing to get to know and manage better the groundwater. That's why.
How are you encouraging people to drill shallower wells for, I guess, non-potable water sources? Or how are you communicating that?
That's a really good question, too. This is a part of the recommendation from Foster, and I think that this recommendation is focused on encourage to industrial sector to use water from shallow levels because they could be able to treat the water. I mean, it's going to be more expensive, but still, it's could be one of many solutions. I missed the second part of your question, sorry. Yeah, okay, thank you.
I enjoyed your presentation. One of the question that I have is how is social equity or recognition of water and sewer as kind of an equity issue that all the people are kind of entitled to that? How has that helped move what you're doing in Bolivia along? I mean, I think having that recognized must really help buy-in and what you're doing from a planning perspective. Can you speak to that?
Sorry, can you repeat your question? I missed some part. I'm sorry, my English is not that good,
no,
so please.
No, neither is mine. But my question is about social equity. You mentioned social equity earlier in your presentation, and I wonder how that's a key to your success in getting support to do your work in protecting groundwater and drinking water.
Oh, yeah. In the first case or in the second case?
Either one.
It's in the first case was really difficult because I don't know, there are so many actors and every actor want to lead the solution. There are a lot very competitive, so it's the work in teams is very hard in the first one. But in the second one, the social agrupations are very concerned because they are suffering right now, the lack of water in some periods. So they are so willing to help. They attend to all our meetings. They go with us to measure take the measurements. They are learning. So I think the social involvement, the acceptability in the second case, is very good. And that is, of course, because we are not alone. The technicians are not alone. We have sociologists, people very experienced helping to do that. So that's what I perceive that situation. Yeah.